This depiction that you see behind me on the screen is actually from Olivia McKinney. And actually, Olivia's very talented art-wise, as you can see. We're going to use that as our background for our series, walking through 2 Corinthians. But really, today's message really epitomizes what's going on there with these hands that are open wide and reaching out to the Corinthian church, but also as Christ is reaching out to us. Let's pray. Lord, pray that you would help us today to hear your voice, that you would particularize your message to your people. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Widen your heart. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 13. We're going to briefly talk about this. But when you think about heart, some might say that person's got a lot of heart, which means they don't give up. It means they don't back down. She put her heart into it. It means that that person gave forth a really good effort, her best effort. That man has a big heart. That means he was compassionate and full of mercy. She poured out her heart. That means she was vulnerable and was willing perhaps even to share private things. One of the things with your heart that you cannot do is fake it. Maybe to the world you can, but not to God. In Paul's message to the Corinthians, really the reason and rationale he's writing the entire letter of 2 Corinthians really is right here in these few verses. And Paul is imploring them to be reconciled to God. Talked about that last week, but also to be reconciled to him. And he holds out his hands and he says to these people that he loves, that he fathered in the faith, widen your hearts. This morning we're going to talk about an open heart and a restricted heart. Two hearts. One way to live. Which way will you choose? First, an open heart. Paul commends his ministry, particularly in verses 3 and verses 11. He says in verse 3, he said this. He said, we lived it. He said, we put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. You know, a life that's lived before the eyes of others is really the most power authentication of the Christian life that can be had. When someone is that you know, that you're familiar with, that you can see them through ups and downs, good times, bad times, tough times, strained times. When things get tough, like they have here with Paul in the Corinthian congregation, the heart shows itself. The heart comes out. Paul says this to the Corinthians. He says, listen, it's no fault of our ministry that your hearts have become restricted. We have gone to great lengths to not lay any obstacle in your way. And this tension that lies between us is not because we've placed something there. Obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. This is why being a committed member to some church body is so important, because you get to see it lived out. Some radio guy can say wonderful things and preach wonderful sermons, but it's different when you can watch a guy up close, when you can see another Christian and the way she lives, the way he talks, the way he interacts, the way he does things, perhaps when things are difficult or hard. And that's who Paul was. Paul was up and close to the Corinthian congregation. And that's what he appeals to. He doesn't just say, hey, we put no obstacle in anyone's way. Then he begins to list it. He says, but as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. And then he begins to go on by great endurance. By great endurance, he says, I'm still here. Through all these ups and downs, through all your rejections, through your straying away, through all of your criticisms, he says, I'm still here. Listen to what he says. He says, in afflictions, in hardships, in calamities, in beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless night, and hunger. Then he says, not only has he been endured through all that, but he says, impurity, through knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor. When he was honored, and at times when he was honored there in that congregation, but there's other times where he's been dishonored. Through slander and through praise, there's been times when he's been unjustly criticized. We are treated as imposters. There's many who believe that he didn't have papers. He didn't have credentials like other traveling individuals had. And so they said, Paul, he's really a fake apostle. He's not really real. He says, through as imposters, yet we are true. He says, unknown. In other words, he didn't have the verification of other apostles or other folks that were writing letters for them. And yet, well known. As dying, and behold, we live. As punished, and yet not killed. As sorrowful, but always rejoicing. As poor, but making many rich. Rich with the gospel of Christ. As having nothing, yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you. You know, the hardest part of the Christian message is not merely believing it. It is a miracle. Only God can do that work where someone will actually believe the gospel. But living it takes even a greater grace of God through the Holy Spirit to help the individual not just say the right things or think the right things or have his orthodox doctrine in line, but to have his life in line with that orthodox doctrine. It's one thing to believe, it's right to forgive. It's very different when you have to forgive when perhaps someone doesn't deserve it. But that's when the gospel gets lived out. That's when the heart is exposed. That's when you see real Christianity. And Paul is listing those things. He's listing those things through beatings, through calamities, through afflictions, through criticisms and dishonor, through being punished, through being sorrowful. He says, we lived it. But he also says, listen, we've spoken it. Look at verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open to you. Our heart is enlarged. He's saying, listen, we've spoken to you. We've not held back anything. We've told you the truth. We've shared those hard things that you needed to hear, not because somehow we wanted to lord it over you, but because we love you, not truth for truth's sake. And so many times I think as parents, we might be in the right, but we want to say things for truth's sake, but the heart and the affection's not there. And it shows. And a teenager can spot it a mile away. But Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 2:4, he says, when he was calling them to the carpet, when he was calling them out, he says, for I wrote to you out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of love that I have for you. That's who Paul is. That's what he's demonstrated. He hasn't just lived the gospel in front of them, but he's spoken it with the affections of the gospel accompanying his word, not just speaking truth in love. Jesus spoke it. Jesus lived it. And he calls us to do the same. But notice what he says in the second half of verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open to you. Our heart is enlarged. In other words, what he's trying to say here, our mouth has been open, but our heart is open wider. In other words, he's saying, listen, through all of these difficulties, through all of these things that you've done in your immaturity and your new faith, and all the ways that you've listened to these groups that have tried to sway you back to the Jewish religion, through all of these individuals who have criticized Paul and said that, boy, when he writes with his letters, he's powerful, but boy, when he's in person, he's not very charismatic at all. To all of those who spoke of his trembling words and the way that he just couldn't put words together, he couldn't articulate like some, like Apollos or perhaps others. For all of that happening, Paul says, listen, he says, our heart is enlarged. In other words, there's room in our heart for you still the same. no matter all of that stuff that's going on, he's saying our heart is enlarged. There's room for you still. And he says, children, as their spiritual father, don't you have room in your heart for us? Won't you reciprocate? Won't you widen your heart as well? Verse 12, he goes on to say, he talks about not just this open heart, but now he talks about this restricted heart. And he says, you are not restricted by us. It's not us who are restricting your heart, but you are restricted in your own affections. In your own affections. Our hearts can become restricted towards others. This word connotes a narrow-mindedness. And this narrow-mindedness would restrict affection. And oftentimes, in certain situations, restrictions indicate, a restricted heart indicates there's conditions going on in the heart where there's the presence of suspicions. Did Paul really have the best motive when he said that? Is he bragging? Is he just trying to lord it over us? Does he just want our money? Does he just want attention? Something's gone wrong in Corinth. We've already talked about this offender that we don't know. This public fight that happened between Paul and this unknown person in Corinth that is inspiring part of the reason for the writing of 2 Corinthians. We already know that's happened. We already know there's this group that are trying to sway them back to a Jewish way of life. But I think he's primarily talking about this criticism that's happened and they've listened. Criticism that he's not the powerful preacher that perhaps someone like Apollos is. Criticism that he's always suffering. He's always in prison. How can the favor of God be upon a person like that who just not only doesn't seem very charismatic, not only doesn't seem to be too articulate, but a person that just seems to be like a loser? And they've listened. And it's affected their hearts. And Paul, as a spiritual father, he says to the congregation, listen, we've not held back from you. You must put away this distrust, this false evaluation, these false credentials that you think I should have as an apostle, these past criticisms about me that have taken root in your heart, this false understanding of what successful apostleship is supposed to look like. And he says to them and he implores them, open wide your hearts, make room. Chrysostom says that the heart of one who loves is wide open. He walks with great freedom. It is when love is lacking that restrictions appear. And God will not allow his children to have restricted hearts toward others, even if they've been disappointed, even if it's been difficult, even if it's been hard. It's not the way of the gospel. It's not who Jesus is. In Matthew, we're instructed, as Peter asked, Lord, how often, if my brother sins against me, shall I forgive him? And Jesus says, and Peter suggests this, and many as seven times. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. In other words, again and again and again. Listen, if you have a restricted heart towards others, any others, particularly brothers, then you have a restricted heart towards God. The horizontal and the vertical go together. For the one who said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, also said, love your neighbor as yourself. And when we have restricted hearts towards one another, our relationship with God is altered. It's effective. It's off course. And that's what's happening here in Corinth. And Paul is saying, no, you can't have these kinds of attitudes towards me. I'm God's representative. I have come to this place as his ambassadors of Christ. God is making his appeal through us. Remember, he said in verses 1 through 13, excuse me, through 11 through 15, last week, there's a fair exchange he's asking for. He says, in return, I speak as to children, widen your hearts also. Church, be careful when you hear the criticism of others. It often restricts your heart. It restricts your affection, not only for other Christian individuals, but it will restrict your affection for God. Because as your affections for others are restricted, It's going to affect your relationship vertically with God because He's the one who said, don't do that. And Paul is not trying to lord over them. He's not saying, hey, like me. I want to be liked. This man didn't need to be liked. That's why he's beaten. That's why he's in prison. That's why he's stoned. But he has their best interest at heart. And he says, if you don't do this, it's going to affect your life. Forgive, love, serve, follow, commit, submit. Live for Jesus. That's his message. Don't be restricted. Listen, that's the devil's major play. Make people dissatisfied with the gospel. The gospel's not enough. There's got to be something more. There's got to be something a little bit else. So if we can have this, but if we could just have this. And Satan pulls you away from God as you are led away. And your heart becomes restricted towards God. You see, we can have hearts restricted towards others, but we can also have hearts restricted towards God. And Paul's saying, widen your hearts. In so doing, your love towards God will increase. Church, in closing, Jesus calls us to widen our hearts toward God. Particularly when there's things in our lives that we don't like. Particularly when there's things we don't understand. Particularly when things aren't going our way. People aren't responding the way we want to respond. You know what happens in those moments? Our heart becomes restricted towards God because of our circumstances. And Jesus says, open your hearts wide. How wide did Jesus open his heart? This wide. He took it all. With all the baggage, all the stuff that was laid upon him, he made room in his heart for you. And he calls you as one who's been transformed into the image of Christ, growing and beholding his unveiled face, and so doing, being transformed from one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Spirit. That's God's desire for you. That's God's desire here for the Corinthians as Paul is holding out his hands. Widen your hearts. Listen, God has made his heart wide for you. And he's put his Spirit within your being so that you can widen your heart for him. And in so doing, for others. It's not something you can do on your own, especially if you don't like the way God made you. Like the circumstances he's placed you in. Like the way people are treating you. You can't do it on your own. Your heart's going to get restricted. And in so doing, as you respond to other people that way, your relationship with God's going to be effective. And God said, listen, I came to set you free from all of that. I came to set you free from that kind of life. From restricted love. You can't fake an open heart. Widen your heart. If you're here this morning and you say, I'm in a place where I just can't do that, then you're in a good place, whether you know it or not, because you understand an important biblical truth. And that truth is, apart from God widening your heart, you cannot do it on your own. Let's pray. Lord, I would ask that you would bless the reading of your word, not just the reading of it, but the living, active word. I pray that you would give people ideas, that you would show them ways that they've been restricting their love towards you or towards other people. And Lord, oh God, I cry out and I ask and I pray, have mercy on them, have mercy on us. And help us, O God, help us to have hearts open wide as yours is open wide. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.